everyone, and welcome back to our 15th episode of The World of Heritage. My name is Stephanie, and here with me is Niloufar. We are students of the World Heritage Studies program at the Brandenburg Technical University, and we started this podcast as our study project for this semester's Queering the Narratives course, organized by our lecturer, Mrs. Caitlin Williams. In each episode, we have a new guest from the BTU Heritage community, and today we're excited to get to know Liana Jabarasian.
Yes, hello.
Liana is a Lebanese Armenian who is born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon. After high school, she decided to study veterinary sciences in American University of Beirut, but then she moved to Budapest, Hungary, where she continued studying another year towards that degree. However, she ended up completing a Bachelor of Science degree in Interior Design at Lebanese American University in 2017. During her bachelor studies, she worked as a freelance graphic designer, social media executive, and after graduating, she worked as a junior interior designer in Lebanon. Currently, she is in her third semester, enrolled in the joint master degree of heritage conservation and site management at the Brandenburg Technical University and Helwan University of Cairo. Along with the studying, she works as an excavation worker and assistant to a field of archaeology at the Freies Institut für Angewandte Kulturwissenschaften. To Liana, being part of the Armenian diaspora has played such a big role in modeling her identity and has motivated her desire to preserve cultural heritage and build what is sustainable and protect whatever remains.
Liana, it is a great pleasure to welcome you to today's talk, and we are excited to listen to your story.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. It's really great to be here.
Okay, let's start the first round of our questions. As mentioned above, you had to do an academic year towards the Bachelor of Science in Veterinary Sciences and your Doctor in Veterinary Medicine. How come and what were the most exciting experiences you had during these 2 years?
Well, in Lebanon, I'm sure a lot of people from different countries also can relate to this statement. You're not successful unless you're a doctor, lawyer, or engineer. And choosing to become a veterinarian fit into that category because, of course, not from the pressure of society. It wasn't the only reason. But I was also always an activist for animal welfare, and I loved learning about how anatomy worked differently in different species. So I would say that the coolest experience was the dissection labs on Thursdays at 8 a.m., where the really strong memory of smell of the formaldehyde still hits me at random points of my life. It's super incredible how the mind and memory work together and in this sense of smell. That was like 7 years ago. And yeah, it wasn't until a year of living in Budapest that I realized it wasn't for me.
Let's talk about your major switch. How come you switched to interior design, and how did you like your degree, and what didn't you like about Bachelor of Interior Design?
So at the beginning, for me, it was a confusing state from having changed from medicine to design, which is another thing to worry about was that everyone was younger than me by 2 years. But, you know, I just kept going. I wanted to graduate and work on my self-improvement through the university, developing the soft and technical skills. I actually graduated hating my degree of interior design. And the worst part of it all was losing the much needed sleep during making these projects happen right before the final due. But I'm really, really happy actually about the technical skills that I learned, like the 2D and 3D design. But yeah, working with clients and trying to design their dream house at the cheapest possible cost was really, really exhausting for me.
You hated your degree?
Yeah, actually I did. So then came my love for heritage, and that's how I went about it. Yeah.
Okay. Can you remember the first time that you really fell in love with a heritage site?
For me, I can't exactly pinpoint this because I'm not going to say it's a school trip because those were actually really boring. But yeah, my love for heritage is really connected to my memory of that day associated with it, which I can remember my fun memory of visiting the south of Lebanon and in Tir, which is also part of the World Heritage Sites. There's the Roman ruins and there's the beach. So we were picking up seashells and these, like, just talking about how, actually, we were joking about how Phoenicians probably used these snails to make their purple dye because that's the legend. And yeah, that's about it. But like, museums for me is big also, because I wasn't even in a museum when I fell in love with museums. It was when I was in design culture class and the teacher was just talking about museums in general. And I was thinking like, wow, like museums have so much history that they preserve. And it's not only the reflection of modern society, but also every past civilization that came before it. So that's, for me, more of how I fell in love with heritage as a whole, like museums preserving the old.
So Liana, you are at the moment working at the Archaeology Institute. What are your tasks and what do you like the most about it? And what is the procedure of learning there?
So last year I got to work in Hessen, Germany, and we went in for a few times for the same project. So it was once in May, in June, and then my longest project and stay was August to October. So basically I skipped the pandemic there, and it was awesome because the site was a Neolithic site, 7,200 years old. It's a unique settlement where it's pretty much preserved and untouched. This site of it's located in the village of Niederweisel, and it's linear pottery culture. So we were finding like a lot of beautiful pottery. My tasks, of course, was to dig, to excavate. And I was in knees deep in the mud in rainy days or like hot days, documenting and measuring. Cool, fun memory is that I lived with my coworkers at an Airbnb nearby. So it was, as soon as everyone was done showering and cooking, we actually took out the bones and we would look at them. And luckily, I got to use my knowledge of animal bones from my vet student days. So that's what I can say about that. That was all planned. Becoming a vet to become an archaeologist.
Old were all these bones?
They're all, the ones that we found, we had different layers. There was the ones from the Middle Ages. There was the ones that were more recent. So it depends on which layer, because the site was really, really huge. But none of them were as old as the pottery, of course, because bones don't normally last that long, unfortunately, which is sad, but yeah.
Is the excavation done now, or are you going to continue and go back at some point in the future?
They just sent me a WhatsApp a couple of days ago that they finished wrapping up and they sent the documentation and everything and all the material to the site, to the Landesamt, the archaeology of Hessen State. I don't know how to say that properly.
All right. So coming back to heritage, what exactly made you choose the Heritage Conservation Site Management Master? Was it your love for museums like you mentioned earlier and the old things or something else?
So when I was researching all of the masters, I was looking specifically at masters related to heritage, history, and anthropology. And I specifically wanted this degree offered at BTU, the HCSM program, over the one offered in Anhalt, which is the architecture and cultural heritage. I don't know if you guys had known about that. It was because of the exchange semester in Cairo, like this joint degree offered by both BTU and Helwan. Truly, I feel like it enriches the whole experience of the studying in heritage.
So those were the questions for the first part. We are excited to learn more about Liana in just a second. So don't go anywhere.
Welcome back with the second part of our today episode. Liana, what do you like the most about living in Germany?
To be honest, I like living here because it's safe and secure. I mean, coming from Lebanon, where there was one sad tragedy after another, feeling secure in a country is a thing that most people neglect and they don't even think about. And also, I love the beer culture. It's such a big thing here. Cold, warm, doesn't matter. Everyone's having a beer. So yeah, that's the two things I like.
Okay, we didn't have that answer yet. So this is a new one. How did your family react when you told them you're moving to Germany?
My parents have always been super supportive of every decision I've taken. So like from moving from Beirut to Budapest to back to Beirut, moving to Cottbus. So it wasn't really a shock to them because they know that I've been preparing for this. I've been wanting to apply for a master's degree abroad. And yeah, for 2 years, I was basically saving for it. And when I got accepted, everybody was pretty much okay with it. But not everyone in my family actually understands what I'm studying, but it's fine.
How about the year of pandemic in your daily life? How could you deal with that? And what are the most important activities to you that you could not do at the moment?
So like every other person, I'm thinking about COVID daily. I've managed to survive it for so long, have not gotten near it. But the only time, yeah, I think I mentioned this before, the only time I didn't think about the pandemic was during those 3 months of the excavation. But right now it's currently hard because with the summer coming up and I'm missing concerts a lot, I really miss being in a huge crowd, any music festival. Whenever I watch a movie, actually, it's like people are so close to each other and I'm thinking, oh my God, you're next to each other, you can't be close to each other. And they're like, no, that was filmed ages ago, Liana. But I don't know, traveling to a new place and eating food at a restaurant, but I know that people are dealing with a lot worse, so still thankful that my loved ones are safe. How to deal with it? I think just being in my room and blasting out old concerts and maybe attending and hosting all the different online meetings and conferences has also helped in some way.
It's so funny because I have the same feeling with the crowds in movies. it's a thing. It's a real thing. So what concerts in Germany did you attend?
I'm a huge metalhead. So actually I came to Frankfurt in 2017. I think I just traveled to Frankfurt and Berlin specifically to see Manowar. And yeah, that's the only concert that I've been to in Germany. And then pandemic happened.
So what is the biggest difference between the Lebanese and the German lifestyles?
I was trying not to find something negative to say, but I think biggest difference would be that Lebanon is obviously a Mediterranean country, so there's warmer weather and the country is all along the seacoast, so people are at the sea, which you don't have that here. Like you don't have a sea in Germany, you have lakes, or is there? No, sea mare. I always confuse the two. Anyway, yeah, there's better tasting food. That's about it, I think, the difference between the Lebanese and German lifestyle. They're both very healthy nuts, though. That's what I can say, a similar thing. They're both very obsessed with staying healthy, like the gym and the healthy food lifestyle, which I can't really relate to because I'm a junk food addict.
What food do you miss the most?
Vegetables. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding when I say vegetables. Like, cucumbers in Germany really just taste like water and they're so big for no reason. And also the fruit does not taste like fruit. Yeah, so vegetables, because other types of food, like with the spices and stuff, it's easy to get because thankfully, and even in Cottbus, there's like the Interfood. If anybody needs to go there, Interfood has like all the different types of spices that you might need in your cooking. So cooking a meal is not difficult, but making the salad taste like the salad that I know and love is just sad because like it just tastes more like water rather than, yeah. And it's kind of scary how long they last in your fridge. It's too, they last too long. They don't get bad.
Like you are already close to 2 years that you are living in Germany, right? What are your go-to places in Cottbus? What restaurants and cafe you used to go before pandemic? And where are you going for rendezvous or just getting out of home? Where do you go?
Before the pandemic, I went to Coffee Latte a lot because it's very cute, cozy atmosphere and I've got nice coffees actually. So in the Altstadt. And a few times I would take a walk along the Spree. But after the pandemic, I can proudly say that I have 5 different types of coffees and a variety of tea. So home all the time, but rendezvous would be just basically, I don't know, at a park somewhere, socially distanced, if we can do that, if we're getting out of the house, yeah.
Which season did you like the most in Cottbus?
Fall is gorgeous in Cottbus. I'm mostly a spring girl and I love flowers and whatnot, but since moving to Cottbus, like I saw all the different types of leaves and all the different trees that change so differently in so many varieties of orange and green. So fall, gotta say fall. I love the snow, I really do. But fall is just a different kind of beautiful. And at least you get to see the little beavers in the spray.
Okay, thanks for your amazing answers. Let's continue shortly.
Hello again, and we are already at our third part and we are excited to learn more about HCSM field of study.
What did you expect from the Heritage Conservation and Site Management Master, and were your expectations met?
So I expected to delve a bit deeper into conservation techniques. So far, we've only taken one or two lectures in the Heritage Conservation course in the winter semester. But of course, I'm not entirely disappointed because our heritage program is actually so well connected with a lot of organizations. So we can get hands-on approaches from those organizations. And I wasn't expecting to be able to get a job opportunity through my archaeology course, which turned out to be one of the most rewarding experiences for me. And there's just a bunch of amazing things in this program and how well connected the heritage community is to each other and how they help each other and forward job posts or experiences, internships, etc.
Talking about your passion toward archaeology, what courses apart from that did you like the most? And if you were given this chance to choose another master program again 2 years ago, would you go with conservation management or would you go with archaeology?
That's a really good question. Would I pick archaeology or would I go to heritage? Because up until the archaeology course in the winter semester of 2019, I had not thought of archaeology, even though archaeology is like big everywhere. But in Lebanon, it's not much talked about as a career choice for some reason. And so in that introduction course, I actually like learned a lot. And then I was able to work through it for almost a year with the many projects that was going on last year. Yeah, so I don't know if I would pick, if I were to re-pick, would I pick archaeology or would I pick heritage? I want to pick a heritage site that is preserving archaeological ruins to work in. That I definitely want to do. And another course that I liked a lot was actually fundraising and financing for heritage. It was a really good course, even though it might seem boring, but it's super helpful. I don't know if anyone listening would care to hear my opinion on this, but honestly, it helped me learn about marketing strategies and fundraising strategies and how to plan your budget and etc. And basically everything you need to know to do like a strategic planning or something. It was a pretty good basic of everything that you need to know when it comes to fundraising for a heritage site, because that is something that's a skill that we will need to know.
You mentioned that you got your job through the university. How did that happen?
Dr. Ingrid Lauba just sent us a message to the class like, hey, there's this company that's looking for student workers. If anyone's interested, they should write to them. And basically I did. It was so random with me because the next day, or was it the next week, that people had already raised their hands. Yeah, I applied and whatever. And I had already gone on my first job. Like, it was very lucky, random to be picked. But then, of course, four other students joined with that big project that was going on in Alchado. It's near here, actually. It's in Brandenburg.
So currently, you would have been in Egypt studying at the Helwan University in Cairo in person. But due to Corona, you couldn't go. So now you're taking the classes online, right? How is it going? And which classes are you taking? Yeah.
So I'm really still heartbroken, as many of my other colleagues are, because we all basically picked HCSM over World Heritage Studies because we wanted to go to Egypt. Like, that was our main. Of course, the program is slightly different, but there are very common points there. So we really wanted to go to Egypt, and it sucks, honestly. But I've been so happy with the class structure and some of the really good content that's available. And these Egyptian professors are truly really kind and flexible in these weird pandemic times. So it's going really well. Some of the courses that I took, which were event management, I took human resources management, which is another boring course that I would have never thought to take, but I felt like being in a heritage manager position, I would need to do this sort of thing. And introduction to museology, which is the saddest one of all, because the teacher was telling us of the many excursions that we should have gone to in Egypt. And there's all that, all the amazing museums and all the stuff that we don't get to go, but hopefully one visit someday in a part of my life, I will go.
What positive things happened to you through your online semester at Helwan that could kind of make up this loss of excursions and being in Egypt?
So being able to make friends with my Egyptian colleagues online, that was a really good positive thing. Because basically I was like the translator for the international community, the BTU students and me and then Helwan. So I taught them the top three things, which is Yani means meaning, Inshallah means God willing. And I don't remember the third one, but I had like a little WhatsApp text for them because the Egyptian professors would constantly be saying this because it's, you know, it's a filler word. And so the Egyptian colleagues, they've been super friendly and we even talk to each other on calls and stuff. Also, what's really cool about them is some of them are conservators and curators in the Egyptian museums. So I can't wait to actually visit them in their workspace and see, you know, because in class we're actually comparing how the real world works versus the theoretical academic world through their experiences, which is really cool.
What is your plan for your academic and professional future? Did you already think about your master thesis, or what is your plan for next semester?
Yes, I have thought briefly, very briefly, about the different ways to approach it. So I know that I've always wanted to talk about Western Armenian heritage and Eastern. So basically, going to go about that topic, maybe compare political narratives and media from the 20th century to today. Maybe I'll talk about the collective memory and make a survey about it. I really don't know what sort of path I'm going to take for my thesis. But I just know that I would love to travel there if the pandemic allows it to Turkey and see a site there based on, of course, my research and whatever, and see the many, many different cultural interlaces that different past civilizations have had on this and the impact it has had on this heritage site. And yeah, another dream I recently had was I want to sit in a storage room in archiving materials and where there's like mold and dust and I'm sorting through these century old archives. It's kind of sad, but like, I think that's my life objective. I really want to protect and preserve what's there and document it all, put it into writing, save it all.
Well, but it's a good objective, life goals. So you should go.
I mean, for me, it's fun just sitting and looking through really old, century-old archives and seeing that, okay, this is still there. This is what they did in this museum. They had this event or whatever. And I think it's really awesome.
I think many museums would appreciate that to have some people working at archive because not many people are willing
to do this.
Storage.
Okay, so we have a quite mean last question for you. What is your favorite World Heritage site or museum and why?
I was so happy that I wasn't getting this question because I don't know what to say. I really don't know. Like, I want to say the one that I know the most, which is in Tyr in South Lebanon, because that's the one that I've visited a lot. It's the Roman ruins. So I mean, it's because it's related to my memory of having fun there on the beach and then going to that Roman ruins directly after and then seeing and then exploring around. And yeah, so I mean, but that's not my favorite. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I have a favorite yet and I don't know how to categorize it. But you asked something else as well, which was favorite World Heritage site and?
Or museum.
Oh, and or museum. I don't know. I said last time that my favorite museum was the Archaeological Museum of Lebanon again, because these are the museums that I've been exposed to. Like, these are the sites that I've seen because it's where I lived most of my life, but I'm sure like there are better. But I love it. Why? Because it's not thematically structured, not organized thematically. It's by timeline. And I am such a history buff that I really like seeing it by timeline rather than theme, even though theme design is also incredible. But yeah, for me, I was just mentioning this once in museology class that I really like seeing the timeline, seeing this period, that period, that period, and going from room to room.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much, Liana, for all your answers and sharing your thoughts and stories with us. It's been such a pleasure to have you today. We hope that the time of pandemic will be over soon so we can meet you in person. And we wish you all the best for your future career. And we hope that you achieve what you dream for in future.
Thank you so much, you guys. And I would love to invite you over and tell you, this is Lebanese-inspired food. This is Armenian-inspired food. And this is a both food. So that's how I talk about these things. I just love food culture in general.
I think we would definitely enjoy that. For sure. So we will probably keep you up on your invitation at some point. Thanks also to everyone listening to us and supporting us along the way. We have had the pleasure to get to see our classmates and get to know them more, and are happy to share all their stories with you guys. Thanks for the amazing feedback, and we hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. If you haven't done so, you should also listen to the other podcasts with, for example, Helena, Morolake, Kat or Rachel.
For the next episode, we will have a chat with Mary. She is a third semester student of World Heritage Studies as her second master after studying archaeology at the University College of Dublin. And she worked in several different positions connected to heritage in the past and present. And we already are so excited to find out what stories she might tell us.
If you are also interested in sharing your thoughts and stories, please feel free to contact us. You can reach us on Instagram, The World of Heritage, or email. Thanks again for listening and stay well. Bye.